It's time for the Dangerous One, Daryl Ryder. Brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello, Daryl.
Good morning, guys.
Who's going to play left tackle Sunday?
I don't think it's going to be Jed Wills, unless he's able to practice today. So,
who do you think it's going to be?
Maybe DeJuan. Maybe they move Jack over there.
We'll put DeJuan Jones over left tackle.
I mean, they got to put someone over there.
You know, he told me himself he probably wouldn't make a good left tackle. It was his. He said it to me.
Well, right now he's not making. He wasn't making a good right tackle either. So.
Okay, he's playing hurt, Daryl. Get off his ass.
I'm just saying.
Ask him some questions, Anthony.
Well, I didn't know we were going to start out with the offensive line today after this crazy week, but Ken wanted to know the nitty gritty of the offensive line.
Well, this will be the.
You know, you can lead him too. You can lead him too. You know, you can take over too. You want the sheets?
How about this? Here come the sheets. He's got the sheets. All right.
Okay, I'm kidding. Go ahead.
How about this one? You ready, Daryl?
Uh-huh.
Booth or no Booth?
Does it really matter?
Yes, it does, because that's going to be our segment at 8:20.
Booth or no Booth?
Booth or no Booth?
Yes!
Welcome to it! Daryl, you can start it off. Booth or no Booth?
I'll say no Booth.
Wow.
Direct contact with
Blair.
So is he going to be their lockstep, basically tied at the hip? He could be tethered
at the hip
with the head coach?
Well, I don't know where he's going to be. I'm just picking Booth.
They should put them in a get-along shirt on the sidelines.
I'm with stupid.
Put them in one of my flannels, and their heads can both stick out the same top.
I just want to know how long before he destroys one of those electronic pads.
Well, that's what we're worried about.
He did in Buffalo.
We're worried about him breaking something up there. We've seen his temper at times. Did you honestly, were you surprised that this was the week, that this was the move, especially with the new quarterback, that we're not going to see the Stefanski play calling, we're instead going to see the Ken Dorsey play calling?
Yeah, I mean, it's a little surprising. I mean, they had to try something, right? Anything? To make this thing work. It's like the meme, the do something meme. Like that's where we've been for 7 weeks here. Do something, try something, anything. So they're going to try this. He's going to do it for the rest of the season, according to Stefanski. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. You know, maybe the results will be a little better. Maybe there'll be less issues with communication like we've seen through the first seven games. Maybe the pre-snap penalties will go away or whatnot. But, And then obviously it depends on how Jameis Winston or whoever is at quarterback, whether it's DTR or at some point we're going to see Bailey Zappe, you just know it. So depending on whoever is at quarterback, you know, maybe we'll get 20 points in a game or we'll actually get a play that can go for 40 yards for the first time this year. So, you know, because they're pretty bad on offense. Like it's downright unwatchable. So, really, my hope and expectation right now is, can it at least be entertaining? Probably not going to win, but can you at least be entertaining?
Well, wait a minute. If their offense is entertaining and their defense is still decent, why can't they win games?
Well, I mean, they should be able to, but...
Well, then why not us, Daryl?
Well, you can be entertaining and not score points, Ken.
That's a very hard thing to do, Daryl.
Well, the Browns have perfected it for about 25 years.
No. Okay, fine. Daryl Ryder joining us, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers. So what was your initial reactions when Kevin Stefanski gave up play calling?
I was surprised.
Do you think he should have given him up before the season and then taken him back later if there was a change?
No, because, I mean, once he made the decision he was going to do it, I really didn't have a problem with it because he was good at it. I mean, Kevin Stefanski calling plays, in my view, was like on the list of things that I felt were problematic going into the season, like near the bottom of the pile. Now, I understand those that say, well, the reason they brought in Ken Dorsey was to fix Deshaun and this, that, and the other, or make Deshaun better, whatever the reasoning was. Basically, it was a bad decision. Like, that's what we found out. Like, this whole offensive coordinator change thing, very bad decision by the Cleveland Browns. Hindsight being 2020. But, you know, now that I think about it, I mean, I'll hear those that want to, you know, look back and say, yeah, he should have done this from day one. It should have been Ken Dorsey calling the plays. But again, just got a contract extension as the head coach. It's what you do well. Why would you give that up, right? So... here you are at this point in the season. Deshaun's done for the season, and you're gonna we're gonna be on the quarterback carousel pretty much through the end of the year now, and who knows, maybe in the years to follow. And so, you know, why not give up the play calling and let Ken see what he can do there, and you know, maybe you can make something over the final 10, 11 games of the season.
What do they think of Jameis Winston as a quarterback, both in the locker room and with the coaching staff?
Well, I mean, it's kind of hard to read because just because people say nice things publicly doesn't mean that's what they actually feel. But, I mean, I don't see a whole lot of difference in the 20 minutes that we get to watch. I mean, he doesn't look demonstratively different from all the other quarterbacks we see. I mean, they're all one and the same to me at this point. I honestly don't know what to expect on Sunday. I really don't. The Ravens come in with a pretty terrible pass defense that normally, you know, in normal circumstances would mean good things for the Browns passing game, which is one of the worst in the NFL. But, I mean, they've played some not-so-great pass defenses already, and they haven't been able to do a whole lot with that. So, I honestly don't know what to expect from Jameis on Sunday.
Darryl Ryder with us right now talking Browns football. One of the setups that I thought we were very encouraged by and thought it was, you know, another brilliant move to bring another brilliant mind in, now could potentially backfire. What I mean by that is Mike Vrabel, who was spotted on the sidelines during the last game, he's going to be one of the most coveted head coaches in the NFL. Who knows? Maybe college, depending on the particular school and particular opening. With that said, Darryl, how do the Browns kind of navigate the rest of this year if it really goes off the rails when that guy who a bunch of other teams are going to covet and you know a bunch of other owners are going to covet is right there in the building?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. By the bye week, I'm anticipating everyone is going to want Mike Vrabel to be the coach against the Saints on November 17th. Because that's just how things go.
You want to repeat that again, please?
I'm guessing everyone's going to want Vrabel to be the head coach by November 17th.
Oh, like, you're saying the fans, or are you saying the people in the building? You what you're saying? You said something about
fans.
Buildings. Oh, okay. All right,
yeah,
never mind.
Like, because that's how we do things here in Cleveland, right?
Well, I think that's how
always fire the coach.
Well, I think that's how every fan base would act if they were in a 1-6 situation.
Right now, yeah, but at what point are the players accountable?
Well, I think that both can be accountable, can't they? I mean, we've seen the players and fans going after each other all week. I think they're holding the players accountable.
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, like, I mean, the players are a big reason why they're in the 1-6 mess that they're in.
Yes.
They're just not doing what they're supposed to be doing. So, I don't think firing Kevin Stefanski would solve any problems. That's my point that I'm trying to make.
Yeah, I guess we're just trying to look at it from the reality. Like, this show, at least two members on this show in particular, have a very high opinion of Kevin. Now, I don't think he's done a good job this year, but that's why I was eager to see how does he do with Jameis Winston, because I could see the offense looking somewhat like it did last year with Joe Flacco. Now, the offensive line needs to get a little healthier, and according to the injury report, seems like, you know, they might be. So,
I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing this Joe Flacco comparison you guys make.
Well, just because he's a quarterback in James Winston who's right, willing
who's
to go
calling,
down the field.
Who's calling the plays? The guy who got fired and everybody makes fun of? Who's calling the plays? We just keep talking about Joe Flacco. When you say Joe Flacco, remember, that's loaded language here, Tone. Like, that's when I was saying, oh, Andy Dalton's backup. It's the same thing as when you're saying Joe Flacco. When you say that, people are expecting that type of performance. So you're kind of putting too much on Jameis Winston right now. He started 10 games
yeah,
the last 5 years.
I just think he's capable of actually hitting other reads well, other than the first that's in front of him.
Well, yeah, if you just want him to be able to play rudimentary quarterback, then yeah. And that's what we're asking for right now because the other guy really couldn't. Then yeah, fine. But if that's your comparison to Joe Flacco, fine. Go ahead, Darryl.
I mean, Kevin's had to deal with 10 different starting quarterbacks. You know, going all the way back to, you know, his first year here. So, I don't know what to expect from Jameis. I just, again, hope the offense is entertaining. Fans enjoy, or able at least to enjoy what they're seeing and see some progress, see some big plays. I think we're going to get as many touchdowns as we do interceptions from him because that's just what his track record is. He loves throwing the ball vertically down the field. Obviously those type of plays get fans into the game and whatnot. Hopefully they're able to hit on some of those. You know, the receiving corps is a little frustrated right now, and, you know, Jerry Jeudy is the poster boy of that, slamming his helmet during the game. Talked to us yesterday about just how, yes, he was frustrated, probably shouldn't have showed it in that way, but it's a game of emotion, and, you know, when asked if there were opportunities for him out there, he told us to watch the film, which I think was his nice way of saying, yeah, dummy, there have been opportunities for me to get the ball, and I'm not getting the ball. So, you know, there's right now where they're at, just there's frustration all around. I think there's frustration upstairs. There's frustration with the coaching staff. There's frustration amongst the players. There's frustration with the fans. There's frustration with the media. Like, everybody's frustrated because the Browns were expected to be a contender this year. Deshaun was supposed to be that missing link to get them to a position to compete for Super Bowls. And here we are in late October, thinking about what on earth are they going to do to get out of Deshaun Watson's contract? What are they going to do to find the next quarterback? Like, we're back to square one again and really shouldn't be in this spot.
Darryl Ryder brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers. All right, whose side do you take, the fans or the players?
What, as far as
you know what's going on here. Not the fans who cheer. I think some fans feel that they've been talked down to.
I think that what has happened is there's a misinterpretation of the events going on here too.
Let's talk about it.
Well, undoubtedly there is a segment of Browns fans that are thrilled that Deshaun Watson is not going to be on the field Sunday. Okay, but there are extenuating reasons why they're thrilled he's not going to be representing the Cleveland Browns on the field Sunday. Right. Obviously, rooting for a guy to be injured that's out of bounds. That's uncalled for, unnecessary, no matter what. You do not root for people to get hurt. You can root for them to get benched. You can root for them to fall flat on their face and fail. You can boo them during player introductions. All of that's fair game as a fan, okay? But you cross a line when you celebrate a player's injury. And yes, there was a smattering of fans that celebrated Deshaun's injury on Sunday, but I don't think it was as egregious as you know, the players made it out to be. And I really thought that Myles Garrett, with his comments, went over the line talking about just what an outstanding citizen Deshaun has been in college and the pros. Apparently, he missed the hundreds of pages of court documentation that I had to read. You know, Jameis Winston, you know, let's not forget accusations that at some point were levied against him.
What's he been accused of, Darryl?
Florida State.
We're moving on.
Yeah, okay. They had to pay almost $1 million to settle something. So, I don't take a side, Ken, and I'm not ducking your question. I think that the fans that celebrated the injury, however many there were, I feel like they were wrong, but they were the other fans that just booed him and during player introductions and that. That's fine. He hasn't been playing well. So, and again, I think the players are right to call the fans out for celebrating an injury, but also at the same time, let's have some perspective of why there is the animus amongst some fans toward Deshaun that there is.
The Modell Law, Tone, is it going to keep the Browns in Cleveland?
We'll see. I mean, this filing by the Browns yesterday was a result of the saber rattling coming from City Hall about trying to enforce this. And the Browns are on a timetable here. They want to move forward with this dome in Brook Park, and they don't want to allow the city to take their time and try and jam up the project with litigation. So they said, fine, you want to sue us? Let's go to court right now and let's get this thing straightened out. And you know, it is a very vague law. The Browns contend that come 2029, once the 2028 football season's over, they will have fulfilled the terms of the lease with the City of Cleveland and the Stadium Corporation that was signed back in 1996. There is no more. The stadium will have been paid off at that time. No more taxpayer money would be going into that building, and therefore they should be free to move into a new building. And what's interesting to me and frustrating for me and makes me just roll my eyes and not take politicians seriously is what they have said to the Browns behind closed doors is the exact opposite to what they're saying in public. And from my standpoint, you can't basically tell a team to go pound salt and then when they go pound salt elsewhere, say, now we're going to sue you for doing this. Like, you either want to be part of the contributions toward the project or you don't. And if you don't, that's fine. Cleveland has no money. I, as a resident of Cleveland, have to vote on a school levy because the school system's $150 million in the red. No money for schools, no money for safety services, no money for roads, no money for other stuff. But yet you're fighting to keep open a stadium that costs you money that you don't have. So I don't get it, but the Browns trying to preempt this whole thing, get some clarity because the law is vague, and you know, it was a 20-page filing, and we'll just, you know, sit back and see what the court has to say about it. But one of the grounds that the Browns argue was unconstitutional, from a commerce standpoint. Mm. Again, I don't know why the city believes the Browns are just obligated under this law that they have to sign a new lease in a building that doesn't function.
They don't believe that. You know they don't believe that.
I know for a fact they don't believe it. Ken, I know what was said in these meetings.
Yes.
And the team was basically told that, and this is a, hang on, I'm getting my notes here. There was a quote that I was told, dead on arrival was a quote that was told to the Browns in one of the meetings within the last 24 months regarding any type of city contribution toward a new stadium deal. So, like, what were the Browns supposed to do? So, and this is a process that's been going on since 2017 that the Browns have been exploring this, and this isn't what the Browns wanted. They don't want a court battle and all this kind of stuff. They tried to do it the right way. They kept their intentions quiet as long. They've supported the monies that the city was seeking for the lakefront, whether they were there or not, you know, and there's just a lot of stuff going on publicly that doesn't line up with some of the stuff that went on privately.
The Browns play the Ravens on Sunday. You can hear it here, 92.3 The Fan. Daryl, thank you very much for the time.
You bet, guys. Have a good weekend.
And there's many people going, who cares? Nah. 216-474-0092. Booth or no booth?
Yeah, we need to hear from you.
Booth or no booth?
It's got to be one or the other, too. It can't be like, from the club section.
Ken Dorsey, either in the booth or on the sidelines. It's that simple. Go around the room quick.
Yeah.
Oh, and booth or no booth?
Oh, of course, booth.
Yeah.
It's got to be the booth.
I flip-flopped. I want him on the field, and I want him tethered, literally tethered to the head coach. Like Stefanski, he gets the use of his left leg, Ken Dorsey his right leg, and they have to move up and down the sidelines like that.
Do you want him tethered over the stadium like Vulture in Full House? What was their uncle Joey Spano? Jesse.
Yeah, yeah.
He was Jesse Cochran in the
uncle
first
Jesse. Yeah, Uncle Jesse, and he came in because he was the lead singer of Vulture, and then he came in on the thing. All right, so there you go. I want Daryl again. Daryl, bring on Daryl. Daryl Ryder, brought to you by Schaub and Jewelers. Hello, Daryl. Daryl, you back?
I have been summoned. I swear I didn't do it.
We have two questions for you that are on hold. You're going to take phone calls here. All right.
Oh, okay.
Now, if you guys want to ask this. Like, I'm going to get to Nathan in Cleveland first. Nathan, good morning. Real quick. All right?
Good morning. Yeah. Hold on. Yes.
Booth or no booth first?
I'm going to go no booth. He's got to be down with them. He's got to be in the trenches.
All right. Nathan says he's got to be in the trenches.
In the trenches.
All right, Nathan, go ahead. What were you going to say? Yeah.
It's ugly down there. So listen, you guys are talking about no money. Cleveland doesn't have any money to keep the team. We don't have this. We don't have that. What about all those stupid casinos that were supposed to pay for our schools and our roads and our? We should have an abundance of money at this point.
Daryl, hello.
I ask those very same questions myself. I get it. The lottery was supposed to support the schools. The casinos supports the support schools. The sports gambling supposed to go toward education, and yet all the school systems in the state have levies on the ballot because they don't have any money. So I don't know. I don't know where the money's going, but I know as a resident of the city of Cleveland, I know I'm asked to, there is another school levy that I'm asked to vote on come November 5th here, whether or not to give the schools more money. They're $150 million in the red.
All right, Daryl, I got one more for you.
Daryl, how is Leaf pickup?
Leaf pickup is back.
It's back.
And we had, yeah, we kind of had to do our own saber rattling because the mayor tried taking that away from us.
Daryl, you need to run for city council. I think you'd be great.
Daryl, that is real justice in action. You made sure to have your voice heard, and those leaves are getting picked up. They are getting bagged. Okay. They're getting sucked up. They're being taken out.
Let me get to Matt here, okay? Matt in Merriman Valley. Is that a congratulations on all your success, Merriman Valley?
I don't know. Where is that?
All right, hold on. Matt in Merriman Valley, before you say anything to Daryl, Matt, Booth or no Booth?
Whatever Daryl suggests.
Wow. Wow. Daryl says
and the
Booth.
Only reason I say, that is I didn't like him in the off. I didn't like Daryl in the offseason because of his skepticism of everything. But my God, did he call everything. Everything he predicted has manifested itself. And from now on, whatever Daryl says goes.
Whoa! That's a promo.
Daryl! Whoa!
Daryl, take that to the bosses for the raise.
What do you think of that, Daryl?
Yeah, I needed that about 4 months ago.
Merriman Valley, it has its own neighborhood association. I'm going to say congratulations on all Matt's success.
That's not just Tom Merriman's backyard?
No. No, this is really... How have I never heard of Merriman Valley? Okay, Daryl, see you in hell. Bye.
Have a great weekend, guys.
You too. Bob in Akron. Bob, Booth or no Booth?
Booth. 100% Booth.
Why?
Because I need to have a live stream of his reactions to every single play shown on TV, please.
Wait a minute. Aren't they going to show him on the sidelines? Can't he go through all his histrionics on the sidelines? Can't he lose his mind on the sidelines?
He can lose his mind on the sidelines. But you see, in the booth, he's got props he can have, and he's got other people he can be around in.
Bob is 100% correct.
He's a prop coordinator.
Is this a CBS game? Because put it on Paramount Plus, the Ken Dorsey channel.
It does look, Bob, you're right about this. It looks 100% more ridiculous, the same actions when you're in a booth as opposed to on the sidelines.
Exactly.
Yeah, thank you. Bob, thank you very much for the call. Like that. If he does all those things on the sidelines, like I've seen a guy throw his headset before, which you really shouldn't. Those are really expensive pieces of equipment, and every administrator or every single professional franchise is going to get really mad at you. But I've seen guys throw their headsets before, clipboards, Surface Touch, whatever it is. It does not have the same effect as if it happens in the booth. Like last year, remember, did I tell you about that? Was it the Baylor game? With Iowa State, a window got shattered up in the press box.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
They got paid for that.
There ain't no windows to shatter on the sidelines. I don't want anybody to shatter windows over at the stadium. I mean, according to the mayor, I don't know when it's ever going to get replaced.
What does it matter? We're on borrowed time anyway. It's going to be like the old stadium in those seats. Okay. Be taking tools to get that stuff out of there.
Speaking of haunted houses. Jim in Brooklyn, Booth or no Booth? Jim.
No Booth.
No Booth. Why? Oh, sidelines. Why, Jim? Why?
Well, let him try to see what Stefanski's seeing when he was down there. He can't see over top of everybody, you know?
Hmm. Tone, thoughts? Jim, thank you.
Well, what about also just being able to quickly talk to guys?
Like, well, you got headsets.
But it's not the same. When you're on the sidelines, you can see emotions. You can see facial expressions.
Ray Farmer disagrees.
The NFL I grew up in, the quarterback got on the old rotary phone and called up to the booth, and they talked it out over the phone like men. I don't need them.
They need to bring back the old rotary phone. Tony in Chagrin. Wait a minute. Is this Chagrin Falls?
You got it.
Get the... I don't have my keys, damn it. All right, Tony's going to be having some fun later on tonight. Tony, Booth or no Booth?
I'm going to say no Booth.
No Booth.
Wow.
Wow. Okay, that's another vote for no Booth.
Boy, reaction,
I see the positives to
this
both.
Reaction coming in. I mean, this is a whirlwind right now. It's tough to keep up with the reaction.
A tour de force. Eddie in Massachusetts. Eddie. You're listening on the free Odyssey app. Eddie, Booth or no Booth?
Hey, I'm sitting here with my friend Bishop Nelson enjoying a Dunkin' Donuts coffee and a lobster claw. And we say, we're coming out of the booth.
No Booth. Yeah, vote for no Booth.
We
ain't my fault the bartender cut you off last night.
Roman on X, brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, says, you know, the Brown season's going swimmingly well when Ken and Lima are playing Booth or No Booth on a Friday in October.
You got that right, baby.
Cleveland's hottest new game
here
show.
You go.
Booth or No Booth.
Booth or No Booth. It's the same.
Not to be confused, guys, with LA's Boo or No Boo, which is about sushi.
It is the It'll same
next
thing.
Segment.
This is where, you know what? I know you mentioned Nick talking about time being a flat circle. Did we or did we not play too much Munkin, not enough Munkin?
We did.
At around the same time back into what, 2000? 18, somewhere in there. No, here we 17. Are again.
But it drove so many of our conversations.
It did. Too much Munkin, not enough Munkin. And now it's Booth or No Booth for our offensive coordinator. And the question of who calls the plays, who doesn't call the plays, who offense really is it? Nobody ever goes in.
Nobody ever comes out.
Jay and Erie, Booth or No Booth?
Booth. But I got a question for you guys.
All right.
Is this part of a sabotage by Kevin Stefanski to say, see, if you can do it any better than I can, Ken Dorsey? Is Stefanski worried about his job? And if he hands the play calling over to Dorsey here, is he going to – and if it doesn't get any better, does that help Stefanski save his job, basically saying, see, you can't do it any better than I can?
That was one of my very first – Jay, thank you for bringing some semblance of realism here. That was one of my first thoughts, and then I went, nah, I don't think it's going to help anyway. I mean, if they're – because if you let him if you let him call plays and it doesn't get any better, then you have no control over the organization, and that's your job as a manager.
If you let him call plays and it does get better, you go, see, I took charge of the situation, yeah.
And
I put the right guy in the situation to help this football team win.
But it's still a results-based business, and they can always go, well, yeah, but you didn't do it soon enough. You probably should have done it at the beginning of the year, and they could always say bye-bye if they really want to.
Give me a quarterback.
Do they make a video for JB Bickerstaff tonight?
Oh, absolutely. Won't they?
Yeah.
I think they will. They're a class organization.
Unless someone gets hurt, like what happened with Kyrie.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, you don't want to talk about that.
No, you don't.
But if you
I mean, he didn't die. He played in basketball later on.
If you think about JB, like he was, and I thought this all along. I was saying this 3 years ago when the love affair was still going on with JB. I'm like, he's the coach to get you to the next coach.
Yeah.
That's exactly what he did. And if you think about it, like Kenny Atkinson is known as an offensive coach. They are going to hopefully build on that defensive identity that this group kind of took on.
If I were him, I'd be pretty frustrated tonight. There would be. He gets it. He's a lifer in the NBA. His dad, the whole thing. But there has to be a tinge. I think what's the spread tonight? Do we know right off the top of our head? I think the Cavs will probably smoke them. I mean, they got the same core four. They should get out and run. They should get out and gun.
Like 10.
If, 10.
It's 10.
All right. So if Evan, I mean, it's early in the season. So if Evan Mobley goes out and he just does another performance like he did against Toronto, another bad basketball team where it's 25 and he has, you know, 19 in the first half like he did the other night. Like if you're JB and you're walking back into the dressing room, there has to be something like, man, I got him there and now I got to roll up my sleeves and begin the entire process all over again. Because that's what it was. You were getting accountability. Like I look at JB. And I'm not nasty towards JB Bickerstaff. I have no ill will towards the guy. I only met him once, and he was a delightful person. He was a guy who had to take him exactly what you said. You needed to build some credibility. Remember, you were coming off of John Beilein. And that was a guy who was a remarkable college basketball coach and a well-respected college basketball coach.
Had away with words.
And was a walking punchline on the sidelines in the NBA. Yeah, I picked up what you said. So you had to get some legitimacy. And JB brought legitimacy there. And if I were JB, if it were me, I'm like, man, I got you to this level, and now you cut me, and I'm right over immediately with Detroit, and I'm in. They got some young pieces there. They got a couple of excited pieces, but it's like, man, I have to go all the way through this again. And then for JB, one of the more frustrating things is, if it goes, he was here 4 years. If it goes your way and you get him there 4 years, it's probably going to go the same way in Detroit.
Yeah, that's where
he
is.
There are so many guys who just get handed these positions where it's like, all right, you build, and then we find someone else. All right, you build, and we'll find someone else. It's the same thing.
At least the NBA is a league where you don't get two chances, maybe. Like the NFL, you get maybe two, very rarely three, right? JB could do this for the next 20 years.
Well, if he's known as a builder, that becomes his MO.
He'll make a lot of money.
But I think you also get a little bit of a reputation we're like, okay, you're known as a builder, but will you always be able to have your players' attention because they might know of you as a builder? If they don't know who you are, like, they're always going to be younger players, and younger players know way less than we do about sports. Yeah. I'm talking not just people in the room.
Sports, I mean, knowledge.
Yeah, all you guys driving. I mean, yeah. They know very little of your team when they arrive here. Very little. You have a very well-versed history. They have no clue. And they might not have any clue about some of the coaches that are there that we've talked about for years. So if you get J.B. Bickerstaff, say you are, I don't know, the Chicago Bulls in a couple of years, you get J.B. All right, well, he built in Cleveland. He built in Detroit. Now he's here in Chicago. Like, what is the, what are we really trying to do? So at some point, maybe it falls apart for him at some juncture. But he's made a hell of a lot of money being a builder, yeah. And he's still making a hell of a lot of money up in Detroit.
I wonder if Evan Mobley really did make this amazing leap over the offseason. Like, Kenny Atkinson's going to get all the credit for it, even though where was Kenny Atkinson most of the offseason?
France.
He was in France.
Foie gras.
He wasn't even working with Evan Mobley.
Andre the Giant.
But obviously, Kenny Atkinson came in and...
Foie gras.
Obviously, he came in and dictated to his staff and everybody what he was looking for, right, from everybody. Like, do we just think J.B. Bickerstaff was not ever challenging Evan Mobley to be more of that unicorn?
I think he probably did. I just don't know if he... Like, I don't know if Evan was ready.
Right, so that's what I mean. I don't think he was either. I think it was pretty clear he wasn't ready.
You'll know this, and this is such a weak connection. But if oh God, I shouldn't even do it. I'm going to do it.
You've already stepped
in it.
I'm going
to do it.
Let's go.
No, there's. If Evan's not ready, he's not ready. And if you're like a person who coaches high school football or youth football, you can look at somebody and go, okay, they're going to be there, but they're not ready yet, and they're not going to be ready for a couple of more years. I got to get them to that next level. How do I do it? And I have some time. Evan might be ready now. He was not ready 2 years ago.
Yeah.
He wasn't ready last
year.
He hopefully was starting to get ready towards the end of last year.
You know how we, the media, you know how fans will all react to this. They will all say it was never going to happen under Bickerstaff, and it only could happen under Atkinson. And is that going to be...
Call me out on that. Make sure I don't. You might get me in a weak moment somewhere in later winter.
I saw it already because...
Well, that's one game. That's silly.
And on the very first play, obviously, they went right at Toronto. Again, bottom five roster, but it was awesome.
Yeah.
Mobley was looking so much more confident. He looked like a man amongst boys all of a sudden, as opposed to the very lean, very frail, maybe not so confident, maybe not so sure of himself, kind of a sloppy dribbler, had some good instincts, but maybe his body hadn't caught up to that. And then it took one game, and he looks like a different guy.
Yeah. And that is part of what he has to deal with. But hold me to that, because maybe he would have got to it with JB. But I can't guarantee he wouldn't have got there with JB. It just didn't look like it was going in the right direction with everybody else. I didn't think that JB was the problem necessarily with Evan Mobley's maturation. I think they tried to force the issue with Evan, if anything. But I think with everybody else, it started to become a programmatic non-fit. And these things happen over 4 years in the NBA.
We see a bunch of hugs tonight.
Yes. Of course you do. Yes.
Except one guy in particular.
Yeah. His name's Jared Allen.
Yeah, there was a little bit. Now, again,
he might poke him in the ribs a couple times and go, see how it feels?
Again, he never specifically called out Jared Allen, but it was in an interview when he was helping out during the postseason. I think JB was working on maybe a media career, but he was on a radio show, I think, with Getzeiler.
Yes.
And
serious NBA radio.
And he was talking about Luka and how Luka was willing to play through anything, including ribs. And he kind of went out of his way to mention that.
And he did.
Our guy who played under Bickerstaff last year and had, we don't know how similar the injuries were, but in that general area, and he did not play.